morning, Delaware Valley. Good morning, everyone. This is Gary Moore, and you're just tuned in to Gary Moore Live Presents the Voices of Righteousness. So sit back, relax. We have two great speakers today, and I'm telling you, God's going to change your life today according to His Word.
You've been listening to the ever-changing world news. Now listen to the never-changing good news, life-changing good news, with Bishop George E. Gibson II.
Good morning to you. This is Bishop George E. Gibson II, and you are here with me for Good News with the Bishop. This is Pentecost Sunday. What a phenomenal opportunity that we have to share in the birthing of the church. I want to read the sound text of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they began living as Jesus did. They began transforming a world that had known no restored relationship with their Creator since Adam. Pentecost marks the powerful beginning of a global movement of the power of God's presence just sweeping across the earth. As we read the account of what happened as the Spirit descended with power on God's people, place yourself in their midst. Imagine, if you would, my brother, my sister, what it would look like, sound like, and even feel like to witness firsthand such a powerful movement of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our greatest gift. And Scripture makes it clear that our lives are to follow their example. We've been given the same Spirit as the disciples who moved so powerfully in the revealing and loving of a Heavenly Father to a world that was in desperate need of a relationship with Him. I feel that there are three areas in which the Spirit would anoint us more powerfully today as He did with the disciples at Pentecost. So let's just take a look for a minute as I want to just share three poignant points of power for this morning. I think that, one, you should speak to all who would listen. The first act of the disciples upon being filled with the Spirit at Pentecost is that they begin to speak to those at the festival, at the feast, that would listen to them. They started to explain the powerful act of the gospel, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And with the preaching of Peter, 3,000 listeners accepted the free gift of salvation. We who are marked by the Spirit's presence are to be disciples who move in the power of love. Acts 1 and 8, one of my favorite scriptures, said, but ye shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost hath come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. In Jerusalem, at home, in Judea, the marketplace, vicinity, places of association and affiliation, to the Samaritans, even to your enemy, you ought to be a witness for our Lord. Everywhere you need to go, you ought to shake a little, shine a little, shake some salt, shine the light of Jesus everywhere you go. The Spirit longs to use us to proclaim the goodness of God's love to His lost and dying world. He longs to fill us with the desires to love His world the way He does. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14 says, let all that you do be done in love. Galatians 5 and 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So first of all, you need to make sure that you speak to whoever will listen, and then bear the fruit of love, secondly. And in Mark, the 12th chapter, the 31st verse, Jesus says that the second greatest commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is your life marked by love for others? Do you live your life in service to your Heavenly Father and His children? Seek out a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit, my brother, my sister. It is the Spirit who bears the fruit of love in your life. You cannot love others on your own, for true love comes solely from God. But the Spirit longs to fill you with a desire and an anointing to love others around you, that they might better know the love of the Heavenly Father, because you represent the fruit of love. Now, all who believe were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, and anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking the bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47. The disposal and distribution of the possessions in the early church was directed among all as anyone had need. When physical or spiritual need became known in the church, action was taken to address it. The New Testament believers demonstrated their love for one another by giving self-sacrificially. Are you a disciple marked by a desire to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Are you a Christian marked by grace-filled love for your fellow believers? Lastly, I want you to make sure that you have a direct connection. Pentecost filled disciples with the ability to connect directly to God through the avenue of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Acts 15 and 28 says, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. The disciples knew God's desire, received revelation from Him, and were transformed into the likeness of Christ through the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We as disciples are to be marked by direct connection with the Holy Spirit. It was only with the Holy Spirit that Peter and Paul were able to connect to God so deeply, and we can have that same connection, you and I, today. So are you a believer marked by direct connection with the Holy Spirit? Do you spend time seeking His presence, His counsel, and His anointing? Let's be children of God who pursue deeply connections with our Heavenly Father. Let's seek the face of God as the early disciples did, and be believers marked by relationship with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is here. Make the connection, not out of word, just out of time. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You've been listening to Bishop George E. Gibson II on Good News with the Bishop. Meet us here every Sunday from 7 to 7:15 in the morning. You can follow the Bishop on Instagram, @official_BishopGeorgeGibson, one word, or Facebook, @BishopGeorge1wordGibson. Have a fantastic day.
Wow, what a wonderful word. What a wonderful word. We're getting ready to bring on the next speaker, and we're doing that now.
Yeah. Hey, man, let me tell you about this place where I found love, I found peace, I found joy, and I found myself. I was looking for a place where I could learn, grow, and develop. Man, it's crazy. Yeah, listen. I was looking for a place to go and a place to grow, a place yielded to the Holy Ghost where the Spirit flows. PowerPoint game crazy, vibrant visuals, and when healing time comes, signs and wonders really show. Learning principles got me walking in my blessings. Taking notes got me learning spiritual lessons. I felt home where the love was developed. I was looking for a place where I could learn, grow, and develop, and I found that, yeah, at this place called Liberty Temple, Philly West.
Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Early. Listen, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to our broadcast. We are absolutely excited to be bringing the word of the Lord to you today. The difference between success and failure is truly information. And we are praying that this information is going to help you with mindsets, attitudes, belief systems, and even behaviors that are going to help you on your path of your life assignment and to be successful. If you do what you've always done, you will truly have what you always had. We welcome you to your new day.
Look at it in the easy read. Abraham slept with Hagar. This is a little more 2021 language, all right? And she became pregnant. When Hagar realized this, Hagar, the one who was voluntold, realized that she became pregnant, she got proud. Because y'all made me his wife. You see it? And she began to feel that she was better than Sarah, her owner. Well, it looks like I could do something you can't do. Kind of sound like Peninnah and Hannah. Did you see it? The wives of Elkanah, one could birth and another couldn't. And the Bible says that Peninnah began to ridicule Hannah because Hannah couldn't have it. And Hannah had to go to the prophet to get Samuel. Do you see it? Okay. So I'm trying to help you to understand this. This is nothing new under the sun. So Hagar was feeling herself because she was able to do something that Sarah wanted to do but couldn't do. Did you see it? Okay. And so it happened on the first try with me. Y'all been trying for a while and haven't had nothing. Do you see? Okay. So verse 5 says, then Sarah said unto Abraham, my slave girl now hates me, and I blame you for this. This 2021 language right here, this about how this would play out if we made it a movie. Are you seeing it? All right. She blaming her husband for her idea. She telling Abraham, I blame you for this. I gave her to you. Well, what was I supposed to do with it if you gave her to me? You knew what this process was. This was your idea, and she became pregnant. The issue was, how are you able to get her pregnant and not me? Is this real talk right here in 2021? Am I talking better than you? It's like, come on, somebody, and give me some props right now. Here we go. Then she began to feel that she is better than I am. Now it's an issue. These two were getting along just fine beforehand. Now, you know, we didn't got creative and brought her into a process she wasn't designed to be in. I want the Lord, Sarah says, is Abraham. Now look at this, same stuff Adam was doing. It's the woman you gave me, right? You see, she said, Abraham, this is your fault. You see it? Now she's saying, I want God to fix it. Let the Lord judge which of us is right. Am I helping you? Okay, this gets good. Trust me. Genesis 16, 15 through 16, Hagar gave birth to Abraham's son, and Abraham named his son Ishmael, and Abraham was 86 years old. Now, let's do the math. Abraham was 75 years old in Genesis chapter 12 when God told him to leave. It's 11 years later. Now my mistake is born. Do you see it? I've given birth to my mistake. And now time, so this 10-year wait going on 11 years now became an issue. Are y'all seeing this? The time that 10 years ago when God said it, we was excited, but now it's been 10 years. My God, how long does it take? He keep talking to us about this, and every time God has an interaction with Abraham, he keeps reminding him of the covenant, but he been waiting 10 years. Are y'all seeing it? Okay, am I helping you? Right? All right, so you're not the only one. Let's look at this covenant so we understand what this really means. So in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 2, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, how many years later is this? All right. So it was 11 years and he was 86 when he had Ishmael. Now, are y'all seeing this? Another 13 years go by. And now God is speaking to Abraham again about this seed. When Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I'm the mighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, God is so eloquent because he want to bring up a subject matter that his grace is not allowing him to go there. You understand what I'm saying? Because he didn't tell him to do that. But he's still talking and interacting with him, even though he made a mistake. Do you see it? And this is the same thing that I wanted to tell somebody here today, that your mistake didn't cancel what God want to do with you. Do you see it? God is still committed to what he originally said. Because if we had listened from the very beginning, then we wouldn't have had a mistake. But it's okay if it's a mistake. It's just a mistake. Do you see it? You took it wrong. You took possession wrong. You didn't take hold of it the way God told you to take hold of it. All it is a mistake. All right? Somebody say mistake. Watch this. Verse 2. I will make my covenant between me and thee. He's talking about the covenant again. Now, I want you to understand God's process here. When people get off, God reminds them of the agreement. Do you see it? I want to make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Talking about this father issue again. You see it? That was a sensitive area for Abraham and Sarah. Verse 5, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but they shall now call your name Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So let's play with this just a little bit. So Abraham in the Hebrew means exalted father or exalted one. All right? But Abraham means father of a multitude or chief of a multitude. All right. So God is saying now that I have to do a name change. See, a covenant, hear me, a covenant, remember, name denotes character, name denotes assignment. Do you see it? Abram did not fit the word of the Lord. Abraham did. Do you see it? And this process, we're looking at Jacob with Israel, but this process started with Abraham. Are you seeing it? So he's saying here, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. So this requires you to have a name change. I need to give you a different name. Why am I giving you a different name? Because we need to deal with that belief system, Abraham. We need to deal with that part of you that's still holding out. Do you see it? And he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make you a nation to thee, and kings shall come out of thee. This is what he's saying to him. He says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed there after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be the God unto thee and to thy seed. So what I'm doing with you, the reason that I'm changing your name to Abraham is because this agreement that I'm making with you is not just for you. You are standing proxy also for the generations that are coming behind you. Hello, Gentiles. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is very much our promise. This is why we need to understand this moment. Am I helping you? Okay. And so thy seed after thee in their generations, I'm going to be a God to you, Abraham, and I'm going to be a God to them. All right. And God said unto Abraham, now, as for Sarah, because I can't let you stay married to Sarah, looking at this last little piece that y'all just did. So I need to change her name too. Thou shalt no longer call her name Sarah, but now I am going to call her Sarah, shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, acknowledging that he recognizes what he just did with Sarah or Hagar. Do you see it? But he's not addressing it. He's not condemning them for it because he recognizes that I'm working with Abraham here because he's still getting his belief system together. Are y'all seeing this? Okay. I'm not going to throw him out because the man got value. I can work with him because he's the prototype for what I'm doing with everybody else. When God signs a covenant, he does not cancel it. He does not go back off of his covenant. He reminds people of the covenant and the agreement that's in place. Am I helping you? Okay. So he said, I'm going to give you another son, but it's going to come from Sarah. Do you see it? Yea, I will bless her, and I shall be a mother, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. They're going to come out of her just like they came out of you. Now, here's the funny part about all of this. The word Sarah in the Hebrew means princess. Mm-hmm. It comes from a root word that means prince, ruler, chief, captain, or governor. This shows the man in the woman. Are you seeing it? Because there's a prince, the ruler, the chief, the captain, and the governor. The root word sarara, it means to have or to exercise dominion. It means to rule or to reign. Now, this was just on her as Sarah. Do you see it? Now he's changing her name to Sarah. So she went from princess to queen. Because the word Sarah in the Hebrew means noble woman or queen. So she got a promotion. But all of the other elements are still the same. Still a prince, still a ruler, still a chief, still a captain, still a governor, still exercising dominion and to have rule and reign. Why? Because God gave man and woman the ability to rule and reign and to dominate, right? He blessed them according to Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. So I wanted you to see that because that's very important. Now watch Abraham's response. You see what I'm saying? Verse 17 says, then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just showed you that he believed. So his spirit believed, but I want you to see how his soul was acting up. Do you see it? He had been waiting since he was 75 years old. He is 99 now. Are you hearing me? This is what time will do to you if you don't stay connected to that covenant and you don't stay connected to the promise. Am I helping you today? His internal belief system was like, yeah, right. Do you see it? He started laughing and he said it in his heart. He ain't said it out loud because he knew he was talking to, but he said it in his heart, shall a child be born unto me at 100? I'm 99. That's going to be another year. He's going to be 100. Sarah already in her 90s. You see it? And Abraham said unto God, why don't you just work with Ishmael? First time he ever even mentions Ishmael's name in interacting with God. Ishmael's here. Why don't you just go ahead and just work with him? We hadn't already helped you. Can't you just work with this one? And God goes on to tell him, my covenant is going to be established with Isaac because I did not tell you to do that. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now, y'all know chapter 18, that's when the three angels came. Right. And you know how that played out. Then Sarah had her turn to hear what God was saying and she laughed. All right. So we done already identified that both of them laughed. We done already identified that both of them had an issue in their internal belief system. God says, I'm going to accomplish some things with Sarah's womb. I know you think it's dead. I know you don't think there's nothing much left to it. I know you think you done got a little older and you're past the time of life. He said, but I'm still going to perform with the original equipment that I told you I was going to work with. My God, let's talk.
Well, there you have it. That's been the word for today. Govern yourselves accordingly. Everything that you've heard in your hearing has been just for you. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week at the same time, same station. God bless you.